unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Ricky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
And we are going to try our darndest to do a new podcast every day for a little while life is just completely turned upside down.
Yeah.
Insane.
And I feel like right now you don't really feel it, the full breadth of it, until you start to think about plans in the future. Mm-hmm. To when you're like, oh, in 2 weeks I'm supposed to.
Nope,
no, I
can't.
Going
to be canceled.
Oh, wait. I wonder if I'm going to meet up. Nope, probably not. And then you really start to think about how truly life has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so curious how we're all going to be feeling and thinking in, say, 2 weeks.
I'm going to tell you how. Tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to be tired. Yeah. Because.
You got to entertain.
I got a six-year-old.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's so weird because it's like some people are going to be like that. And I feel like me, like, I was just telling Miguel yesterday, like, I had a bunch of events on my calendar. Like, this week, I was like, all right, I've been going at it for weeks now, events on events on events. And I was like, everything got canceled. And as much as, like, those events are blessings, I was like, holy moly, I have a second right now to, like, take a step back.
Right.
Yeah. Catch back up with life and get a little rest when I feel like the other side of it, the parent side, is like, oh my gosh, our life just got ramped up even more than it already was.
Yeah, it's good that, like, I had a meme and I put it on my Insta story. It was like, you know, part of us is not that mad because this is forcing everyone to take the much needed slowdown that our society has been craving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, for the last 5-10 years, the entire American work ethic is, if you're not at work 60 hours a week, you're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like, don't take your vacations because you have to work. Like, okay, no.
Right.
And we got into this crazy thing. And so now this is forcing people to slow down a little bit. And I'm not saying that it's great because obviously people are worried about money and their jobs and all of this, but it is forcing us to get very much back to basics.
I mean, even if you are trying to find the positive in stuff, I think that that is one of the positives to look at, because I think I just mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks ago that one of my friends and I were chatting and we're like, wouldn't it be great is if you are working in a career and like you're in your mid-30s like we are now, so we've put in, you know, a good 12, 15 years into working. If at this point you could say, if I work for 2 years, mm-hmm. and obviously you still get like, you know, however much vacation time you get, but then after like in that third year, you get like a month off.
Right.
Where you can just do your vacation, that's fun, but whenever you go on vacation, it's not truly vacation because when you get back, you're like, I'm exhausted.
Oh, yeah. But even the vacations are like, go, go, go.
Right. But if you truly got some time to just sit and relax and catch up on those things, if maybe this is like a weird way, sort of like, you know, in the Bible where they're like, God was like, well, we need to cleanse the earth. Y'all got too crazy. And then they had the flood.
Mm-hmm.
If this is God's way of being like,
I told you.
Sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down.
I don't know.
Now, granted, obviously, because I don't want to sound insensitive, you know, we're going to be dealing with deaths and people's jobs and industries. I mean, we don't know what the outlook of this is going to look like. But if you have to take a second to just look at the positive right now in this moment before we know the true outcome of all of this, take a second and breathe.
Right. You know, away from other people.
Yeah. Don't touch them either.
Yeah, social distancing. But seriously, though, this is a mandatory slowdown. Man, you have to.
Now, Scott, you are almost at your first full year of working outside of college. And so this will be something that we'll look back at and be like, remember the generation that dealt with the coronavirus when they were coming out of college? Because for me, it was the economic recession in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd graduated in the spring of 2007, and then I moved to Panama City with Holly the summer of 2008. And then that fall, like, the bottom fell out, and it was like, and then in Panama City, we had the oil spill.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The oil spill.
So it was like, I was like, well, is this what being an adult is like? Like, this is shit.
Yes.
Like, God.
Well, yes.
But then it came back, yes. And it's been great for the past few years.
This too shall pass.
Right. And so for your generation, Scott, like, this is going to be that thing y'all are going to look back at and be like, well, damn, we had no leg up when we got out of college. How do you feel?
I mean, it's just, it's the one thing I keep telling people, especially around my age, is like, honestly, I kind of make it a little lighthearted where I'm like, man, when I'm 90, like, this is going to be a crazy story because it's something that's, like, I mean, kind of, like, never really happened to this extent where it's like, yo, this was nuts. And this taught everyone kind of a lesson on, like, better be smart. But also, I guess, like, going in the workplace, I feel like everyone has different scenarios for it because I have a lot of friends that are either working at home. And I'm like, well, my job, like, you don't go home. Like, your home is now your work. And everyone else has to go home to make sure that you're still able to work. And so it's kind of a different scenario. But a lot of people are kind of like, you're finally getting going. And I see a couple people got new jobs, but their jobs are on, like, pause right now. So it's kind of weird for them. It's like, did you just get that job because they're, like, probably laying people off and they're going to need you in the long run? Mm. Or did you get that job and now you're going to be on pause and that job might be taken away from you in a little bit once you actually get going or this whole thing, you know, clears out? So it is kind of a weird position if you're just starting to work. Because I don't know what that's like in a normal workforce right now. Because I guess my other job, like, I do weddings and stuff. I do DJ. And, like, I guess if I would, like, I've just started that, but I could see how it's going to have that effect. Because I just had, you know, 4 events just cancel out before my eyes, like, yesterday. I was like, oh, if I was just relying on that for my income, I'd be screwed right now.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have this where it's like, okay, I could balance out a little bit. For a little bit. Not great. But for a little bit, I'll be all right.
It's really crazy when you think about how fast the world can change and how everything can just turn upside down. I have a friend that works in the travel industry and, you know, his company was just getting back together after all of the stuff that happened in the Dominican Republic where there were the murders and people were like, well, what's going on down there? And then people started canceling and their company took a major hit. And they were finally starting to get themselves back.
Well.
And then last week, I think he woke up one day and for his company where they, I guess, have a program where it tells you how many people are on hold. And there were like 200 or 300 calls on hold to cancel plans. And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to have a job out of all of this. And he's, I think, 29 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's about to be 30. And this is all he's done his entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so a lot of people are looking at this like, what does life look like after all of this? Holly, how are things working in your house?
I'm just trying to be a lot cleaner than we normally are because my mom is right in the target demo of coronavirus victims. So what we know about coronavirus is that children are, you know, strangely not affected. They're carriers. They can be carriers, but we don't hear about a lot of children having symptoms.
Right.
Yeah.
Which in itself is odd. Like, I have some thoughts, but we're not going to go conspiracy theory in this podcast.
Well, if there's time to go conspiracy theory, now would be it.
Then, you know, you've got people that are on the younger end of the spectrum and healthy. And for them, we're hearing that it's like a bad cold or a bad flu. But I also am hearing that, you know, it's causing you to be short of breath. And then even if you fully recover, you have lung damage because the virus caused damage to your lungs and you're going to get winded for the rest of your life. Like, is it giving your lungs fibrosis? Is it killing those cells? So there's that. And then you've got the elderly population who seem to be, if they contract coronavirus, dying because it's just too much for their immune systems or lack thereof, or people with, you know, compromised immune systems. So I'm just trying to be really vigilant and careful about my mom's health because she is 71. She's got all kind of comorbidities going on, which is like, you know, other stuff that she deals with. She used to be a diabetic. She had that brain surgery, and so she's on all these different medications. and I know this is the woo-woo side of me, but I made some shouts out to Alicia's homemade elderberry syrup. She sent us some, and I made it about a month or so ago, and I'm now making my mom drink 2 tablespoons every day because it's supposed to really help boost your immune system.
Whatever helps.
I know. So we're doing all that, and then we kind of sanitized the house on Friday, although I found out Friday when I got home that my mom had decided to go to Publix, and I was like, woman! What?
What are you doing?
Like, of all the times that you're going to play around with Uber and actually at work, you're now going to... Okay. So I was like, go wash everything. Your hands, your face. Just get in the shower and then wash everything else down. And then as far as my daughter goes, you know, same thing with everybody in the Tampa Bay area. We found out last Friday that schools were going to close. At first, we only thought it was going to be through the week. And then we found out it was through the rest of the month, which on the podcast, I will say... my daughter doesn't go to a Pinellas County school.
Mm-hmm.
And so her spring break wasn't in line with everyone else's. Like this current week that we're in, this is St. Patrick's Day when we're recording this, it was everybody else's spring break. So they were already planning this week off. Not my kid. So she got sent home with all of her stuff, like pretty much everything in her desk. And they're planning on doing homeschooling, like e-learning somehow. I'm waiting on instruction on how this is going to work. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then their spring break wasn't going to be until April. Well, they're canceling that. They're moving up to they're going to move the spring break week up to next week. So there won't be any online learning next week. And then they're going to wait and see what happens.
Right.
My guess, and I feel like this is a pretty educated guess, we will not see kids back in schools probably through the end of the school year.
That's so crazy to think of.
I know.
That's so much school. I remember like hurricanes would come through and we would be scrambling after we missed a couple of days just because we missed that little bit of school. This is going to be months? Like,
yes. I think because, I mean, keep in mind, even the president said that, you know, he recommended based on like the CDC and stuff that schools be closed for 8 weeks, which is pretty much the end of the school year.
Yeah.
Or things could be impacted until July or August. We don't know yet. What I do know is that we are damn sure not prepared for kids to go back in schools, you know, come April 2nd.
The e-learning. I was talking to a teacher this weekend who she teaches kindergarten, and she was like, they were like, you have to do e-learning. And she was like,
oh,
we've never done that before. How the hell do you do e-learning with kindergartens who, like, don't have any attention span?
No, I mean,
I could see the panic on her face, and I was like, I can't imagine what that must be like.
I know. My daughter's in first grade, so her teacher sent out a note home on Friday that was like, we're so excited about this new chapter of e-learning. I'm like, you had to say that. I'm like, ain't nobody know what they're doing. Like, we had to, like, scramble and print out permission forms for us, the kids to have an account on this one app that helps us keep in contact with the teacher. I don't know if there's going to be like a video, like a Skype session where they're going to sit in front of their computer and see their teacher for like an hour a day, or if it's just going to be assignments. I don't know. We're going to find out tomorrow because it starts tomorrow, and then we'll get the break next week. So we'll see. But in the meantime, I haven't had a chance to do it yet because once I get home with my daughter, and this is always how it has been, like when I would pick her up from school at 3:30, 4 o'clock, it's just I'm on
right.
as a mom mm-hmm. until she goes to bed, and then I can check my email and social media and stuff. Well, that's all out the window because she's just home now with my mom, which I'm like, that's a bad combo. You have a 6-year-old and a 71-year-old. I'm like, hopefully one doesn't get it and infect the other. But so I want to put a schedule together because just based on yesterday, if it's just a free for all, I do not have the energy to do it. Also, my kid wants snacks all the damn time. So I'm going to have to put into place, like, you know, from wake up until 9 a.m., free time, breakfast, get dressed. Yeah. And I'm going to make her. She was naked all day yesterday.
Oh, God.
Homegirl was naked all day, which she does sometimes. But right. I was like, we're going to make this seem like it's an actual day.
Yeah.
So you got to get dressed. And then at 9, like, go outside and take a walk with Nana, take the dog. And then at 10, then you can have a snack. And then at 11, you got to sit down and do this e-learning. And then at noon, you can do lunch. Like, there has to be some kind of regimented schedule that I have to sit down. And parents, I'm assuming, like me, have never done this before.
Mm-mm.
And they're like, we'll figure it out. I feel like I just talked for a long time. Sorry.
No.
That's a lot of process.
Why do you keep saying sorry?
I don't know. Because it sounded a long time in my head. I'm done with that. I'm sorry about for saying sorry. I am so tired right now. I don't know why. After the show, I just got this wave of sleepiness.
Listen, I have this wave of sleepiness, uncertainty, and every day I leave the show, I have, not every day, but like since last week, I've had this like, did we do enough? Did we talk about the right things? Were we given the right information? Should we have been more serious? Were we too jokey? Should we be jokey enough? It is emotionally draining right now because we're trying to guide you listening in the right way and making sure that we're doing all the right things because, like we've been saying, this is unprecedented. And so we don't know. We're all flying blind right now.
We are.
Trying to figure it out.
Our jobs are so emotionally taxing. And I don't mean to say, like, I know that the nurses and the doctors and the paramedics, all of those frontline, obviously, y'all are exhausted. I got that.
Yeah.
What we do is a little bit different in that, like, we have to walk that line of information and entertainment and helping to keep the public involved. And then I'm going home and I'm jumping right into mom life. And then I would say by about 5 o'clock is when I lose my patience. So from 5 till 7, it's a very tough time for me. It's not like I've known agreeable children. They are a blessing. My daughter is just not an agreeable child.
Right.
And I love that about her. She's like a spitfire, and she is going to be, you know, coming out at the world, swinging, and she's not going to take shit from anybody. But also, when, you know, you're a mom to this this little ball of fire, then about 5 p.m. it starts getting a little bit, like, I'm like, just go watch TV.
You're like, I'm done. I can't anymore.
Yeah. So I'm just a little sleepy today.
No, I can imagine everybody's feeling that right now. Scott, you were going to say something a minute ago.
I was just earlier about the online learning because I was talking, because I guess like every school is doing it. Even my girlfriend who's in dental school is doing, you know, they all got their classes canceled and everything like that. And so they're doing online learning. But I was talking to a friend of mine who works over at USF. And they're talking about how those students are going to online learning, but they have a true problem where it's like they can't have 40,000 students on the same server without it, you know, crashing. So the employees actually have to have their own, like, I don't know the technical terms for it, but I'm just going to say server because it sounds smart. Server for the employees to work on.
Yeah.
That's different than the students because it's never once have they had, you know, oh, let's put our 40 to 50,000 students in one thing that we're all working on. It's just, it won't work.
You just can't have everybody logging on to usf.edu and expect it to be okay.
Yeah, it's like not everything's going to last like that. So it's just like a lot of people that are just, nobody knows what to do at this point. Or even like with jobs, don't know what to do.
I know. I was just looking at, we get emails from our company because our company, Cox Media Group, we own TV stations and newspapers. And so they're very big about, which they should be, as anybody should be if you're a broadcaster, but making sure that you have the news. And so they send out sort of throughout the day, like updates and stuff. And I just saw Nordstrom closing all its stores in U.S. Canada for 2 weeks. Dollar General stores to limit shopping to seniors for first hour of business days during coronavirus pandemic. Let's see. Oh, TSA worker from Atlanta Airport test positive for virus. Oh, this is nice. Country singer Dierks Bentley gives his bar employees $1,000 each amid outbreak.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bentley, you go, buddy.
And Amazon hiring 100,000 workers as online orders surge. So there's so much going on right now that everybody's trying to grapple with. And I think one of the biggest things is, like, what do you do? Because, like, when I leave here, work, if I don't have anything going on, I'll be like, on a day that I'm like, ooh, I've got no events, or I don't have to go home and plan, or I don't have any bills to pay, or I don't have just anything, I'm like, you know what? I'll go to the mall and just see. Maybe there's, like, a shirt or two I can buy.
Not today.
Not going to the mall.
No, you going to your house.
Or, ooh, you know what? I'm going to go do a movie day. I'm going to go see a movie.
Uh-uh.
Closed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just go home.
Well, that's what I wonder about, like, because I work out all the time, and I'm like, do I obviously I still want to, like, and it's still open, but I'm like, should I be? Am I just putting myself in harm's way? But at the same time, I think I'm going to go even more stir crazy if I don't go. So I'm like trying to balance that line. I'm like, I don't know where to go, what to do. Because that was the one thing, that was my consistent thing every day that I did. Beside that, everything's kind of just thrown up in the air.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And I mean, even here at work, I mean, all of our events have been canceled. Yes. And so it's like,
I don't know what to do.
Since I was 21, 2020, I've been working almost every weekend. Like, literally once a month, there'll be, like, that one weekend where there's, like, nothing to do or there's no events. And now I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
What do we do for the whole weekend?
Relaxing.
Yeah. I wanted to call my mom real quick, and I wanted to see how she was doing. I haven't had a chance to chat with her over the past couple days.
Wait, quick question on that.
Yeah.
Are you looking at your phone to see your mom's number?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't have your mom's number memorized?
I don't. I'm like almost there because she gets on me all the time about it. But
is it
like
a new number, or has she had this number for like a long time?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I'm going to take that as a long time.
I might have said, no, I don't think so. Maybe we'll have to ask her. I don't know. Okay. But no, she always gets. I mean, that's what even Abe, my boyfriend, was like, do you know my number? I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, I don't remember my girlfriend's half the time.
No.
Every now and then I'm like, oh, I got it.
But whose number do you know?
I know Holly O'Connor's number.
But you don't know your mama's number.
That's it. I don't.
Or Abe's.
No, I know my grandma's house number.
Okay.
But that doesn't work anymore. So.
No, sure does not.
Let's see here. But if you ever have any questions that you want to ask us or something on the podcast, because we'll be doing this. Some days they'll be 10 minutes, some days they'll be 20, some days 30, just depending upon how much time we have.
Questions are good.
Good morning, Division of Family and Children's Services.
Oh. Hi, Mom. It's me, Miguel, Holly, Scott.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Wait, I dialed your cell phone number. Why'd you answer?
The work phone is transferred to my cell phone. I'm home.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, I'll make sure to beep out where you said you worked. So I haven't talked to you in a few days, and what we're doing, Mom, is we're doing a podcast daily now after the show as people are staying home from work like you are right now. How are you dealing with everything?
Oh, I'm fine. I have no problem with it.
That's good.
Do you like the social distancing?
I love it. I've been away from people for a month. It wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, she's like, just leave me alone. Bye.
Exactly. Saving money, not buying any food, not have to pay for gas and parking. I'm loving it.
Now, what are you doing to pass the time when you're not actually working?
Oh, I'm working. Trust me, I'm working.
Well, I mean, you're not working like after hours, are you?
Oh, after hours, I'm sleeping.
I feel that.
Your mom has got it under control, Miguel. I don't know what you thought was going to happen, but she's fine.
Because I feel like you are kind of a busybody. So I thought like you would get a little stir crazy.
Well, remember, I'm in my new place now, so I have not had a chance to go stir crazy yet. So I'm content. I'm fine. Mm.
That's true. That is true because my mom.
And then I have my friend, you know.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. That's
No.
She don't practice social distancing all the time.
Not all the time.
Get close.
Okay. All right. That's enough of that.
I can give you details.
We're good.
You know what they say?
Okay. They don't
ask
say.
Okay. She goes, you call me. Miguel, don't
now
ask
I'm
questions.
Thrown off. I don't even know. I was gonna ask you something else. I don't even remember. Oh, so anyway, so my mom, you've been living with someone since basically I was born. My brother was born, right?
Exactly. This is the first time I'm by myself, me and Chaz, and we love it.
And that's your little doggy.
Exactly.
Now, how has it been on your own living by yourself?
I'm broke, but I love it.
Yeah, that freedom is something that people don't appreciate as much when they have had a roommate or are taking care of someone or have just got someone else there that can come bother you at any second. Mm-hmm. Like, people just don't understand how nice it is.
Mm. You can walk around the house naked.
You could.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, just let everything hang free.
That's right.
I'm not doing that.
Yep. No, you're not, Scott. No, all you're right. not. You're good. Well, that's
and
good.
Holly, I'm so sorry you're going through what you're going through with your mom. It's a challenge, but you'll make it.
Yeah.
You'll make it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, we have ups and downs. Sometimes it's all good, and then every now and then, you know, I have to cry about her Uber situation. But other than that, it's fine. It's for the most part, we're handling it pretty well.
Good.
Mom, so, I mean, are you nervous as a part of, you know, the older age group that people are worried about? You know,
no,
you're...
because I'm keeping my distance from them.
Oh, smart. So, yeah.
I'm home. Yeah. I'm, so, no.
But when
no,
you
I'm,
go
I'm,
to
I'm
the
not worried.
When you go to the grocery store, are you, like, ducking and weaving around people at all?
No, I have no reason to go to the grocery store. I have everything I need. I was proactive. I did all of that before it got crowded and crazy. So I'm good.
Okay, well, good. Well, I'm glad you are there and you're safe and you're protected and nobody's getting inside except for, quote, unquote, your friend.
Exactly, and he better not come here with nothing.
That's okay. Right.
All right, Mom. Well, you have a good rest of your day. Thank you for letting us check in on you.
You too. Love you, baby.
All right, love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Holly. Bye, Scott. Love y'all.
Bye.
Oh, good.
Can I tell you one thing real quick that just was stark, just a stark difference to me? So on Friday night, no, Saturday night, mm-hmm. I happened to think about my dad really quick, and we can then deconstruct this call, because I thought that was a really good call with your mom, and she seems to be handling it fine.
Yeah.
I worried about my dad, because my dad is not doing so good. Like, he's up in Ohio by himself, still working, because honestly, I think if he didn't have work, he would not know what to do with himself.
Right.
But the only thing he does is go to work and come home, and then sometimes, like, he'll swing by CVS to get, like, a frozen meal, and that's his dinner. So I called him, because we don't talk that often. He sometimes will like my posts on Facebook or whatever, so I know he's alive still. That's good. But I called him on Saturday night. I had a couple beers, and I was like, Dad, because I like to bother. So this is like on his home answering machine, and this is what that conversation sounded like by myself.
On the answering machine.
On the answering machine. I was like, hey, Dad, it's me. I hope you're taking all this coronavirus stuff seriously, because, you know, you're in a risky age group, and if you're going to work, I know that you work with some young men, and you know, just... they might not be washing hands or something, but you need to keep washing your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just make sure you're okay. If you go to CVS, just get the hand sanitizer. And can you call me and let me know that you're taking precautions? Okay, I love you. Bye.
Beep. Because I'm assuming this isn't a voicemail on a cell phone. Is this like an actual answering machine?
It's an actual answering machine. The one that's like, no one is available to answer your call.
You can hear the click.
Yeah. And so that, and then, of course, he didn't call me back, but he did like one of my posts. So I think he's okay. I mean, I got to call my brother. My brother's actually in Ohio, so maybe he could go do like a welfare check.
How far away is your brother from your dad?
I think about an hour and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I mean, hope Tim's okay.
When was the last time you actually talked to him on the phone? Holly just squinted her eyes so small, trying to think. You're going through the files in your head, trying to figure it out.
When did I talk to what was the last holiday that we had?
Valentine's Day,
no.
Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, come on.
Christmas, your birthday.
My birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked to him on my birthday.
January 1,
yes.
2020.
So, 3 months ago.
Okay, you know, that's good.
Yeah, it was good. And I saw him. I forgot. I saw him over Christmas.
Oh, that's right.
So, we are like... This is a lot of communication. Yeah. So I saw him over Christmas. He called me on my birthday. Hey, Peanut. So that was good. And, I checked up on him for coronavirus, so I'm trying to do the damn thing, but, you know.
Do you, what do you think goes through his mind? Like, why doesn't he call you back? Is he, he hears it, and then does he just forget? Or is he like, oh, well, you know, I heard her message. I heard from her. That's it.
I think that.
Mm.
I think the latter. I think, I honestly don't. We can't figure it out. We don't know. That's the question. Why doesn't he call anybody back? He doesn't call my brother back either.
Oh, really?
My mom has stopped calling, which is probably best, because I don't think he wants to call her back ever. But and probably she started nagging him or something. But I don't know why not. I don't know. He's this is where I get the
indecisive?
Not indecisive. No. Introverted part of myself from. Because
right.
He is very much an introvert. He's more like a reclusive hermit now.
Mm.
But he just doesn't he's not really talkative. No. Not to mention, I think there's something wrong with him, like, as far as, like, PTSD. Now that I've done all my, you know, homework for the past year about mental health, there's no way he doesn't have some major things wrong. Like, his mom died when he was 16. Mm. He was in Vietnam. When his mom died, his dad didn't want him, so they shipped him off to his aunt and uncle's house. And his aunt notably said, "Nobody asked me if I could have Timmy stay with us, but we did the right thing." So, like, he's messed up sometimes.
I did not know that about his childhood.
Yeah, and it's just, oh, it's wow. tough. He had a tough life. And so I feel like right now for him, the reason that he is just sitting at his house and doesn't have anybody come over and doesn't go anywhere is because he's just, it's safe. It feels safe and comfortable.
Mm.
I don't know. And I don't know why he doesn't call.
Wow.
Maybe because he doesn't have much to say. I'm always like, "What's new?" And he's like, "Nothing." And I'm like, "Are you still bowling?" And he's like, No. I'm like, "How's your eye?" Because his eye's not doing well. He's got to, like, get surgery or something. He's like, "It's okay."
Mm.
He just sits down.
When you were growing up, because I know your parents were divorced when you were really young.
I think I was 9 or 10.
And when you would spend time with him, like, did he talk then? Or was it just you just being like, he was just like, "Hey, it's my daughter."
Yes, that, mostly that. He's not really wordy. He just was just there. He would put my stuff together. Like, I have a photo of us at Christmas when I was like 6, and I got this little like play keyboard with a microphone, and I was like singing in the microphone, and my dad's like behind me, like with a screwdriver putting it together. Like, that's him. He's just doing stuff in the background. We would play Nintendo together. Mm-hmm. So that was like a thing. And then we would just, when I'd go over to spend time with him when I was in middle school and high school, we would just watch movies, and he'd let me stay up late.
Mm.
So that was cool.
Have you talked about him in therapy at all?
Mm-mm.
I'd be really curious, like, how they would dissect him and his interactions with you and how that affected you later on in life.
I have touched on it when I was talking with my friend about this, and I've touched on it. I think that I'm going to write it down to bring it up with Maureen, because I think what happened is he was always very quiet, and then, but he was supportive in his own way, but then he, you know, moved out, and that's fine. I saw him, but he was just there. Like, I never felt like he's not someone that I could, like, have a heart-to-heart with,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And I mean, I know the circumstances of, you know, him and my mom, like, he had an affair,
mm-hmm.
and so I was never mad at him for that. And then when they ended up getting divorced, I told my mom it was probably a good thing. And that was like 9, you know, because I could always hear them fighting and I would always be like nervous, you know. So, I mean, so then you've got that with my dad where it's just he's there. And then I had a stepdad who was okay at first. And then I need to process this, too. He was terrible, like not a good person. And him and my mom would fight all the time. And he would be so terrible to me and my brother. Come to find out, he had, at the end of his life, he had, what's it called, where it's like water on your brain?
Oh.
Hydrocephalus.
Yeah.
And so that can, like, basically make you crazy, because if it's pushing on a part of your brain where your logical, rational thoughts come from, he got a little crazy at the end of the life.
Right.
But we didn't know any of that till he was, like, almost
gone.
Died. So I think that probably impacted it, and nobody knew. And that probably is what made him so crazy in the last few years. I hated him. And so I hated him. And then there was like some things with my first ever boyfriend. And then I have a weird relationship with men, I feel like. I don't really, because I never want like a man doctor. I don't want a man psychologist. I do have like some men physicians or whatever in my life, but for the most part, it's like I never got. Wait, let me work through this. Hold on one second.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I felt like I couldn't depend on men in my life, and I feel like that still carries through,
right.
because the main figures weren't very dependable.
Right.
So I think that that's something I need to take to therapy. It's
Absolutely.
Not, it doesn't really impact me on the day-to-day. Like, I don't really want to cry about it and like, "Oh, man." But I do think it's like a psychological impact for me.
Absolutely. I mean, I think everything leaves a mark on us that we don't even realize until something in that realm comes up later on in life. And you're like, I thought that didn't, like, leave a mark, but it did.
Right.
And so I'd be curious on what your therapist would say that mark has been mm-hmm. on your life because of those sort of examples from early on in your life.
Right. So that, I think that. So I will bring that to therapy and see what happens. And it's not that I don't. I have love for my dad. And he helped me out financially when I was buying my house. And I'm forever grateful to that. So it's not like he cuts me off or anything. It's like right. he did help. I mean, he gave me money to put down on my for my down payment for my house,
mm-hmm.
a little grudgingly about it. He was like, now, Peanut, you really got to take care of this house, which was a little bit funny coming from him because he didn't take care of his. But I was like, I will. Mm-hmm. I promise, Dad. And my mom, like, got on her soapbox and made this whole plea to him about it. But so he did. And he's I'm sure if I called him. I called him one time, like, when I was going through a lot last year, and I cried on his voicemail because at that point I was like, I just need someone. So I called him the next day. And I can laugh about this because I'm genuinely not mad, but I think it says something. So I left this message where I'm crying on his voicemail. And the next day he Facebook messaged me and said, everything okay, Peanut? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I had a moment last night.
Maybe he doesn't have your number.
That's
probably. Oh, no. He has my number. I've had one number in my entire life. Man has the number.
I mean.
He called me on my birthday.
Okay, never mind. Man. I was just like.
No, he's got my number.
Poor Tim.
And I hope he doesn't hear it. Like, I don't think he listens to the podcast, but if he does, I would hope he wouldn't hear this and feel badly because I feel like he's doing and he did the best he can with what he was handed. And right. that's the whole point of me being in therapy. I wish my brother would go because I'm breaking that generational curse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of our parents have some shit they dealt with mm-hmm. and their parents and their and it just goes on until someone can say enough.
Right.
I'm fixing myself, and by doing that, I'm going to fix future generations. So I find that really empowering about me. And so I'm going to do that for Maya, and I get her often. Sometimes when I don't, it's because I'm not paying close enough attention.
Right.
Like, if she's doing something, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But if I really stop and think about actions and, like, where is this coming from and what emotion base is this coming from, then I can connect with her and say, it must have felt, you know, really sad that you thought I was paying more attention to Nana's conversation and not including you. You must have felt ignored, and I'm sorry that you feel that way. So let's focus on that. So I'm not just like, just shut up.
Right.
So I'm trying really hard to be that curse breaker, like that cycle breaker for our family.
I think that's one of the big things that I mentioned when I did my Black and Empowered brunch a few weeks ago to end Black History Month. And I was the moderator for this panel about Black issues with these one of the city council members from St. Pete and a pastor, an artist, and I can't remember the other person who we were with, but a really diverse group of people coming from the African-American thing. And one of the subjects we talked about was mental health and how in our community, oh, my God, like there is so much that we need to deal with, that we need to reckon with, that we need to talk about and put out on the table, but we're afraid because, oh, we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't go to a shrink.
Right.
To a person. We don't pay a person mm-hmm. to talk to, tell our problems to. You send it up to Jesus and you call it a day.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's as far as it goes. And so just from knowing my family's story about what my grandmother's been through, my mom's been through, my brother's been through, all them bitches need to be up in therapy. Same with me.
Yes.
We all need to be.
Yes.
In order to be able to be a more communicative and whole individual. We need that.
100%. Because I didn't even know what I was dealing with until I got into therapy. I literally was like, I'm smart about psychological stuff. I know what my issues are. No, I didn't. I didn't. I thought I did. And I did not. So even if you're a person that thinks that you have it under control, you might not.
Well, there you go. Every day. A little nugget.
Maybe it won't be that intense.
Hey, you know what? Maybe it is.
Talk about what's on your mind. There you go.
I'm about to say, listen, we've got to, because we give you all the behind the scenes stuff here on the podcast. You know, our job when we come in the morning, like we said earlier in the show here, is to give you some escapism.
Mm.
but also not burying our heads in the sand and ignoring what's happening.
Right.
And that's a balance we have to go through every morning on our show on Hot 101.5. But here on the podcast, if I need to freak out, because sometimes I need to, like I wanted to on Friday's show, but it's our job as broadcasters to be responsible and not incite panic.
Right.
But I want it to fucking panic.
Yeah, but we can't.
No, but on the podcast, we can.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, is anybody doing like deep breaths every day to make sure you don't have coronavirus?
Wait, isn't it if you hold it for 10 seconds?
Yeah, you gotta like take a deep breath and hold it. And okay. If you can't do that, that's probably not so good.
Okay, I think I'm okay. I think you're good.
Yeah, okay, I'm good. Okay, I'm good.
I'm not going to lie. I have a sore throat, but I think it's because allergies.
Probably allergies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Allergies are
my
bad.
Drainage has been out of control.
Save that.
Gross.
I went and got a massage yesterday.
How was that?
It was great, but I felt so bad for my masseuse because when he would get into like these really strong sort of movements, you could hear him go, like he wanted to cough. But he was, like, afraid that I'd be like, why are you over me in a small room? Are you coughing? But you can, like, tell a difference between, like, an allergy cough and something else. And I want to be like, it's okay. If you need to leave and get a drink of water, it's okay.
Right.
But we're all living in that, like, hysteria now. This poor man was, like, having to keep it in for the 90 minutes that I had my massage yesterday. So I wanted to be like, it's okay. I appreciate you. Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And Snapchat, but I don't really use Snapchat. And Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott.
At Scott Tavlin on everything. I don't really Snapchat, so don't worry about Snapchat. But everything else, at Scott Tavlin.
Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. You can see me on Instagram, Twitter, on TikTok. And I'm one of the only ones that still do Snapchat. You can find me on there. And Facebook.com/RadioMiguel. Please, if you're listening on iTunes, a little podcast app, leave us a rating or subscribe to it. Share it with your friends that we're doing this every day during the week so we can give you something as you're stuck at home, working from home, isolating, if you're quarantined or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
We want to provide you with some extra content every day. And also, download the free Hot 101.5 app and you can listen there. Until tomorrow.